And now new developments in the continuing fight over the fate of Terri Schiavo. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to order the reinsertion of a feeding tube in the body of the brain-damaged woman. In a second ruling, a Florida state court rebuffed Governor Jeb Bush's efforts to move Schiavo to state custody. Together, the announcement leave Ms. Schiavo's parents with few legal options in their struggle to keep their daughter alive. For legal analysis, we turn, as we often do, to David Savage, who covers the Supreme Court for the Los Angeles Times. He joins us by phone from his office here in Washington. Always a pleasure, David.
I knew.
Given the court has rejected this, I think, what, four times before, was today's announcement a surprise at all?
No. In fact, I saw one count that says it's the fifth time they've turned it down. This has been a strange couple of days because the Republican Congress passed this bill over the weekend and said that she could go to federal court to claim and have a court consider any right under the Constitution that was violated in the Florida courts. And it's pretty clear her lawyers, the parents' lawyers, don't have any strong claim that there's been a constitutional violation in her case. You know, their strong view is that the judge made the wrong decision, that mm-hmm. Terri would want to live. But all they could say is that she was sort of denied due process of law, and the federal judge in Tampa, the U.S. Court of Appeals in Atlanta, and now the Supreme Court has taken the view that 7 years of litigation was due process of law.
But this new congressional law passed last weekend, as you mentioned. How could the Supreme Court reach a decision so quickly about the impact of this new law?
Well, I think because the law didn't really do what its sponsors said. You know, they said last weekend that we're taking action to restore the feeding tube for Terri Schiavo, but they actually passed a law that didn't say that. It said that the federal courts are supposed to follow their normal procedures. And I think the closest analogy I could give you is a habeas corpus petition in a death penalty case, because these happen a lot. People are tried, convicted in a state court, and sometimes on the eve of their execution, the lawyers file a habeas corpus petition. It comes up to the Supreme Court, and they say, you, either federal judge or Supreme Court, need to intervene because my client's going to die, and there's a constitutional violation in his case. The justices look at the petitions and frequently decide we don't see any constitutional violation, and they very quickly turn them down. And that's what's happened here. Even though this case is momentous in some ways, there simply is not a strong claim of a constitutional violation.
Interesting. When this case was at the Court of Appeals in Atlanta, there was some language in their decision that turned on the phrasing in the congressional law.
Well, yes, that's right. The two judges in the majority said, in fact, they quoted a passage in the Senate where Bill Frist, the majority leader, and Carl Levin were talking on the floor, and Levin said, this doesn't say that a federal court shall order the restoring of the feeding tube. And Senator Frist said, yes, I agree. It's up to the judge, and the judges are supposed to apply the normal rules of law. And the normal rule of law is that you have to show the judge a constitutional violation before you get relief. And they were unable to get beyond that first hurdle.
And there was an aspect of this that almost seemed like the Atlanta court was chiding Congress.
Well, yes, that's right. I mean, the end of that passage, they basically said if Congress wanted to order the judges to restore the feeding tube, or they wanted to create some new, stronger right to life, they could have written a law that said that, but they didn't.
Which may cause some rethinking when Congress returns.
Yeah.
The Schindlers, Terri Schiavo's parents, had pinned their hopes on the federal courts in this case, they and many of their allies. Should they really have anticipated this response, though?
Well, it moves so fast you could probably second-guess it and it would be unfair, but I really think if the Congress wrote a law that seems to have been somewhat ill thought out, because all they said is take another look to see whether any rights been violated. They didn't add any substantive law, and they just didn't write a strong enough law to get the relief they wanted to get.
A lot of other people thought that this law itself might be declared unconstitutional.
Well, yes, I think there were a whole series of other potential problems with this law, but the federal judges who took up the case, I think, basically decided we're not even going to deal with the other problems. The notion of reopening a final case on behalf of one person. There are a lot of troubling notions as to whether Congress can do that, But rather than deal with that, the judges sort of went straight to the heart of the matter and said, I've looked at this record. I don't see a constitutional flaw. Therefore, I'm not going to grant any relief. And they didn't even deal with all the more difficult constitutional questions.
David Savage, as always, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
David Savage is Supreme Court reporter for the Los Angeles Times and joined us from his office here in Washington, D.C. For NPR's full coverage of the Terri Schiavo story, you can visit our website at npr.org and stay tuned to NPR News for further developments as they happen. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.